Yo, what's going on, man? You are back with another episode of the Who Got Next podcast. I'm your host, E-Dub, and I appreciate you for tuning in with me. This week, I've been trying to get, you know, everybody I could speak within the city with whatever that they are doing. Talked about music, you know, talked to promoters, talked to bloggers, talked to entrepreneurs. I have yet to talk to a DJ in the city. And I got my homie in here, DJ Midnight. What's going on, man?
What's good, man? What's good?
Nothing much, man. So I just wanted to talk to you. Been trying to get you in here for a minute, so we finally had a chance to talk. Of course, I know you. I've been knowing you for a while. I've actually had the privilege of meeting you through, I met a lot of people, even though I feel I'm a pretty approachable person. But I met you around the time, I think, when I started doing the sneaker shows with my freshman compadres. I want to say it was probably around that time.
Yeah.
Not sure, but you talking about 7-8 years ago, I think. You started DJing. Not sure when you started, but of course, those are the conversations that I want to have with you about what you have going on in the city. You've been around for a while, so just being a DJ, you've seen the ins and outs of what it takes for Charlotte to get what they, you know, to get where they are.
Yeah.
I want to say that you are a part of that. Being a DJ, but also being on a mainstream station in the region with Power 98. So thank you again for sitting down with me. So let's, I guess, to kind of get started, you know, Midnight. When did you start actually DJing?
I started DJing the summer of 2009.
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. So okay. Recently hit 10 years. Really, I had just learned how to do it, like, between 2007 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the guys that taught me how to DJ, I was the first one to buy the equipment and just jump out there. It's kind of like I was hooked. So it was just like I just couldn't stop. I just had to keep going.
You sound like me. The only difference is that I didn't buy the equipment. I might be showing my age here. I'm a big DJ guy. So I pay attention to everything when it comes to DJing. Yeah. So if you good, you good. If you dope, you dope. But if you bad,
yeah, it's gonna show. It's gonna show.
You bad. I check out a lot of the techniques. So if I feel the DJ is not performing that technique, the first thing I'm saying is, oh man, he about to fuck this whole thing. he about to fuck this whole thing up. But everybody do have their own guys. But you know, with a DJ, you know, your ultimate job is to, you're the bus driver.
Yeah,
I always say you're the bus driver. You're the bus driver. You know what route you want to take.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna take that route, and you know how to get your people where you need to go. And I think that's any DJ, good or bad. I think that's any DJ's, you know, should be. It should be everybody's thought process when it comes to that. But unfortunately,
it's not
like that. So you bought your equipment and you just kind of started getting into it then?
Yeah, man, I just jumped out there really. Like, and it was just from there, it was like, honestly, it was like drugs or something. Like, it's like the more I learned how to do it, the more I wanted to do it,
mm-hmm.
the more I was ready to jump in front of somebody and show them I could do it.
Right.
And so I just kept like trying to find different ways to get out there.
All right. And so when you started doing it, you said
2009.
So when you started doing it, like, how long do you think it probably took you to? Cause I think everybody has that moment where it's like, okay, I bought the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just sit in my room for right now. I'm gonna sit in my room, or I'm gonna sit where it is.
It gets addictive because it was like, and that's how it started. It started with I just set it up in the room and I'm just DJing. But it got to the point where it's like that's all I'm focused on.
Right.
Like, I gotta be at work, and I ain't even worried about being at work because I want to DJ. Like,
kind of like video
games. Carried away. Like, you get carried away 2-3 hours DJing, and you late for something. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's how bad it was.
So, do you remember your first gig ever?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, my first gig was a high school party. Okay. Summerfest weekend, they did a high school party.
Mm-hmm.
It was a firefighter building off of Central Avenue.
Okay.
And I remember, like, knowing one of the kids that was going to be there, and I was like, yo, like, what's your favorite song? And he made me like a 3-page list.
Mm-hmm.
And I built my first party was built off a 3-page list.
So you did, okay. So that kind of goes into my next question. So when you went in there, again, bus driver.
Yeah.
But what you decided to do was just ask.
Yeah, I was like, it's just smart to ask because then you're not guessing. Like, it's like, I feel like you need to be prepared for stuff like that. Now, granted, you won't catch DJs going out here now like, hey, what was that? What was like?
Mm-hmm.
And they won't do that. But at the end of the day, it was like, it's not who you ask. It's just like, you know, somebody's going to be at the party. You know that they came to party. Like, ask them what they want to hear. Like, let's find out what they want to listen to,
mm-hmm.
and go from there. And you could build a vibe just off of that.
So, your first gig, what grade do you give yourself?
Oh man, that probably was to them it was probably an A, but to me it was a C,
mm-hmm.
and like a low C, almost a D, because it was like I couldn't, like, all right, so buying that equipment, I had only seen it in my room. So now I'm in public and I'm like, oh man, like it's now it looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do I do? Like, so I couldn't remember how to hook up the equipment and I'm calling DJs, ain't nobody answering the phone. And I'm just like, I'm like, yo, like, I'm about to blow this already. Like, it's like,
right.
I'm nervous. And it was just like, it was a super nerve-wracking feeling. It's like butterflies and being punched mm-hmm. in the stomach all at the same time. And until you finally... Literally, it's like a point at the party. It's like a peaceful point where you know you got them already. Like, if you catch the crowd and you got that vibe built up, you can play anything. It wouldn't even matter what it is.
And I kind of equate that to a football player. Like, a football player is always good until they take that first hit.
Yeah.
So, it like, one even you know how good you are,
yeah.
right? But if you out there, you in front of a group of people,
mm-hmm.
everybody's looking at you. They're looking at what you about to do.
Yeah.
And you got everybody looking in your face. So that's kind of like a right. DJ. Everybody's looking in your face because there's two things that's going to happen. Either they're going to nod their head or vibe, or they're
exactly.
just going to sit
or
there.
Or they're going to chill and do something else and let you know that you don't have their attention.
Right. Exactly.
And that's happened. It's happened, bro. It's happened. Like, my first 21 and up party, I DJed like a party in Salisbury. And at the time... Rick Ross Blowing Money Fast was the biggest song out.
I remember that.
And I'm like, all right, so at that point I had a PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had the money to get a MacBook. And
right.
I'm like, you know, I'm just DJing. I didn't even check the specs or nothing. I just bought a PC and just started DJing. Like, so the computer's getting full, it's not enough memory,
mm-hmm.
and it starts glitching. And I'm like, and at that point I didn't talk in front of people. So I was like, no, I'm not gonna say nothing. I told the promoter, I was like, yo, it's about to cut off. I was like, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to reboot it, and then we'll just start over. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, I mean exactly what I said. Like, it's going to cut off. When this song is over, it's going to cut off. I was like, everybody's going to look back here. I was like, but I'm just going to reboot it, and they're going to look at you because I don't care. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably the most unprofessional thing I could have ever done, but I didn't care. Like, I didn't talk in front of people. Like, I was like, I don't talk in front of people, and you can't make me talk in front of people. Like,
right.
Nothing you're going to do is going to persuade me to talk in front of all these people. Like, it just doesn't work like that. So, that was pretty funny.
So, talk about some of the early influences of DJs. I've been here for 12 years, so.
Okay.
I've seen an influx of DJs mm-hmm. that, I'm not going to say had their moment. Everybody kind of has their time when it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
they getting booked nonstop.
Oh, right, so you see it and it's come in like a flash.
And yeah,
like,
and everybody has their vibe. Like,
yeah,
I think everybody has their vibe. So I kind of would know where I would see certain DJs at. You know, certain DJs going to perform at certain venues. Well, at the time, certain venues, and certain crowds. So talk about the influences that the Charlotte DJs had on you.
Oh man, I say it was like it made it seem. Like, it was the best thing ever to do. Because mm-hmm. before I was DJing, I was that kid that was partying every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the time I got off work to I go home and change and go to the club. Like,
mm-hmm.
go to the club. That's all I knew, was to go to the club. When you turn 18, you can get in the club. We going to the club.
Right.
It's not that easy now. But at one point, it was. But the thing about it is, like, it has so much influence. Because I felt like, I was like, yo, I got a long way to go. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see how it plays out. Like, and then what really made me scared was the fact that when I caught up, I was like, okay, is this supposed to be like this? Like, am I really at this level, or did I surpass these people?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you kind of don't know how to take it.
Right.
Like, but it had a lot of influence because I was listening to how they DJed and how they played. But I also wanted to DJ right. So you feel like you listen to the wrong person and you do what they do and it don't be right.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a big difference. So then I started to seek the older DJs that had been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came across people like Dexter Dynamite. But with a real OG, they bring you in, they show you the ropes, they show you how it's supposed to be done.
There's no ego.
Exactly. It's not like, so it's like you attracted them immediately because it's like, all right, this is where it's supposed to be at. Like, this is how it's supposed to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just hang out with them. And just check their party because I feel like their parties was the parties that I was looking for. Like,
right. So yeah, I think when I first, like I said, I know you would talk to them, and I know you always would be around Dime.
Yeah, man. Look,
that's my homie right there.
Yeah, Dime broke me out of that talking. Like he showed that you had to do it, but it's like
you gotta talk.
Yeah, he was like a DJ that don't talk, don't got no identity. And I was like, man, like you right, but it was like at first it was so hard because it was like, you know, like, okay, so what works? Like, what do you say to make the crowd react? And then Dime would just be like, yo, it's not about what you say, it's how you said it. It's like, how confident were you in what you said?
Mm-hmm.
And I literally would take his lines and be like, yo, they don't work. Like, Dime, they don't work. Like, I just said it, and it didn't work. Like,
right.
He would hop on right behind me and say it, and everybody go crazy. And I was like, yo, I just said that. Like, I just said the same thing, and it didn't even work. But it's all in the confidence. Like, mm-hmm. It's like the crowd can feel when you wasn't confident enough to say that. Like,
so in the past 10 years, what have you noticed changed about DJing per se, period? Just overall.
How quick you can get in the game. How quick, I feel like when I got in the game, you had to work for it. Like, literally, it was on some, unless DJs seen you putting in work and started to see you being on the scene, they didn't respect it. They didn't talk to you. They wasn't going to give you no advice, no none of that. And then when I started making noise, then it became accessible. Like, oh, you know, bro, what you need? You need this, you need that. It was a big difference. But it's about the consistency. Like, who can stay consistent?
Now, do you think, I want to touch on that. So, you just said, you know, they didn't know you basically from a can of paint.
Yeah,
so they didn't know what your intention
exactly
was about getting in the game. So with that, do you think it was some just being nervous because they're looking at a younger guy come up in the same area that they're at that possibly may go to the same spot that I'm at?
Yeah.
It might take my fucking job.
I started noticing you notice it based off how a person starts to act. Like, mm-hmm. you got the people that embrace you, like, yo, you know, keep doing your thing, keep working,
mm-hmm.
do this, do that. But then you got some that be like, yeah, keep doing your thing, see you around. And you like, why you acting like that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's some people that, and I notice it now, I just feel like I wouldn't do that. Like, it's like, if you see somebody that's genuinely in love with the art of music and the art of DJing, that's different than somebody that's just jumping out here like, oh, I'm gonna be a DJ because that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a deal. You can see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like when you don't know the difference, yeah, you don't know how to act. But if people see how genuine you are, I feel like they open up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't do that. I feel like people don't know the difference. So it's like.
Now, was it just like that in Charlotte? It was like that in other places that you've been to?
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. I thought it wasn't. I thought it was easier than what it was. Like you can meet somebody and they don't know your intentions and they gonna curve you until
mm-hmm.
you show them that that's what you're doing. Like it's crazy to me.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. One time, I'm not in the game, but yeah. I know a lot of DJs,
yeah.
and I pay attention. So I hear these water cooler conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest thing is, and I think this could happen at a lot of places, but I want to get your take on it. Maybe you've experienced it at one point or another or not. All right, so when you're coming into the game, you're trying to get your feet wet, right? You said your first gig was a high school party.
Yeah.
Somebody who really think they're like that would think a high school party is beneath them.
They would.
They would. So follow me where I'm going with this.
Okay.
So they feel I should be in these certain clubs. I should be at these certain venues. Boom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do I get this promoter's attention?
Oh, some of them will lowball you. They'll lowball you. Oh, they'll lowball you. Like
that leads to my next
but
point.
But see, I'm going to tell you what's – that topic alone is iffy because it's like it's a such thing as lowballing, but it's a such thing as if you're a rookie, you getting rookie prices. Like
that, if you're that, a rookie, that's where I'm. Thank you. So this is where I'm going. So what's the difference? Number one, number two, if somebody DJ Loke, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just say DJ Loke. So DJ Loke comes in the game. He like, bro, I'm about to get up in there. I got to figure out how I'm gonna get in there. Boom, whatever. But I know I'm nice.
Right.
I know I'm nice. Matter of fact, I know I'm nicer than DJ Midnight. Right? I'm only using you as an example But DJ Midnight's in the game.
Yeah.
DJ Midnight paid his dues. DJ Midnight been in those trenches.
Right.
DJ Midnight been out there when the computer had to reboot.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to talk it. You're going to figure it out.
Right.
Right? Now DJ Midnight is at the point where this is my market rate. I'm not going no lower than that.
Exactly.
But DJ Lotlo
don't care.
Don't care. And DJ Lotlo is on a come up. So the promoter's like, fuck that. I'm going to go to DJ Lotlo. Now, and the reason why I asked that question is that kind of like a, is that kind of forbidden in the DJ fraternity?
It is. It make you want to come at somebody, Nick. Like, bro, like this, come on. You taking money out of my pockets because you just try to lowball me. But it's so many different angles. And I'm going to say one angle is the promoters will try to get you to be that guy. Because mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh, well, such and such taking this price. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not such and such, so call them. Like, but 10 years ago, I'd have been like, well, I'm going to do this then. Like, what's up? Like, but just like it's messed up because mm-hmm. it shouldn't be like that. But it's like what I notice is the promoters bite at that cheap price. But see, if you just patient just a little bit, you're going to see that cheap DJ burn itself out. Cause then they're gonna try to give them every gig, every DJ. One DJ can't take all the gigs. Like mm-mm. it's not possible. So guess what they're gonna do? They're gonna run you in the game. And because you haven't been in the trenches, what you gonna do? You're gonna start repetitively playing the same thing every time. So now you're not providing the vibe. You just there.
You gonna fold there
playing music. You regular now. Like me, what it's gonna make me do now is I'm gonna have to bring something different to the table. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna turn it up a notch. I'm gonna provide a better vibe. So when you come in, you're like, okay, nah, we gotta have him. He got something that you can't really get. Like you have to have an identity.
Are DJs territorial?
They are. I've seen older DJs be territorial. I've seen it, but it's crazy. Like, and it's like you shouldn't be, but it's like, you know, they be terrified because they know they. And I don't think they terrified is that. They think it's a DJ that's better. They just think it's they know how the game work. Like mm-hmm. you'd be like, if I'm even close to this DJ and he's good, if I'm close to that and I'm cheaper, they're gonna take it. They're gonna take it like, all right, well, you almost there. Like, and they're just gonna take it. It's just gonna be that simple.
That's crazy.
It really is. But it's like you got to stand your ground with these promoters. You got to, because they're taking a run with it if you let them.
Right, and I'm going to say probably the past 10 years, it's kind of slowed down a little bit, but there was a time where everybody wanted to promote. You know, everybody thought it was easy money. I've mm-hmm. done parties before, and
it's not as easy as you think it is.
It's not. It's not easy. I don't care how popular you think. I don't care how popular you are, because there's a think you are, and there's
exactly
you are. So
it's either you are or you aren't, and it's never an in between.
It's never in between, and also there's never an in between if somebody's going to go or not.
Exactly. you just never know. It's always an estimate. Like oh, I know they coming. No, you don't. Cause what happened? Like it could change. Like, all right, you see it's sunny outside now. If it rains, it 2 hours from now, that'll stop a certain amount of people from going out tonight.
Cause they're not rocking with it.
They're not going out.
The girls.
It got ugly. It's ugly outside now. Like, what? It's been hot all day. They don't care, though.
They don't care.
It's a risk. You got to be willing to take that risk. And, I mean, I felt like paying my dues, I've taken a lot of risk. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've put a lot. Like, even, okay, so coming into DJing, I worked at UPS. Mm-hmm. I bought a piece of equipment every week. Mm-hmm. When I got everything, I quit. When I got my last piece of equipment, I could fully do a party. I quit just to see if I can go do it. It didn't work out at first. Mm-hmm. It took some time. I had to go get another job. Went and got an overnight job at Target. I put DJing on hold for a year. So I was like, all right, let me stack some money. Let me see, you know, if this works. I got tired of that, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to try it again.
But at the same time, when you was doing that, you were still in the trenches putting your work in on that DJ.
See, the thing about that is even if you're not working, you have to appeal that you are. So as much as I wasn't DJing and I didn't have any money, I had a quarter tank of gas in the car, I would still go out and be on the scene. And they'd be like, now you're that familiar face. So when you finally start getting booked, they know who you are already. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, Midnight's been around. Midnight did this. Midnight did that. Become that familiar face. So you're bringing something to the table. Like, okay, we know who this is. You're not just, I'm trying to get a gig this week and you ain't seen me in 6 months. Like, mm-hmm. nah, that's not going to work. You got to be in these people's face. So they give you a reason to work.
Exactly. So let's fast forward a little bit. Now you get the opportunity to be on Power 98. Mm-hmm. So how did that, number one is radio. So yeah. I know it's, excuse my language. I try not to curse on myself, but it don't matter. You can. I know this fucking hard because it's corporate.
It is.
Let's just start there.
It's all politics.
It's all politics.
And I'm still learning them.
And it's all corporate. So how did Power 98 notice you?
Really, what it was I like I said, you got to be around. So I was like, okay, I want to get in the radio. How do you get in the radio? I don't know. Nobody knows, really. Mm-hmm. But you start finding the key players that's already in. So you had the morning show. You got No Limit them. So they, I want to say Butterfingers reached out to me. And he was like, yo, you know, like, I've heard you DJ. Like,
shout out to Butterfingers. Right. That's
like
my guy right
real
there.
Real one. Like, right. So what it was like, when you impress an OG, it's like it's bigger than life, because it's like that could take you to the next level just knowing that person. Mm-hmm. So like I DJed and he was like, yo, you know, you got skills, you can DJ, what are you doing? And I was like, DJing. He was like, that's it? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you got to be doing more than that. And I was like, well, that's all I know.
That's all I know, right?
Like, I've sucked my life into DJing, bro. Right. This is, I like, at this point, if it don't work, I'm going to just be homeless trying, bro, because I love it that much that I'm going to put everything on the line for it. Like, and he didn't believe it, but I was just like, you know, you start hanging out with them. So they was doing like college shows. I go out and do the college shows and open up for him.
And you were showing up.
Just like, showing up. Just showing up. Like, I'd be there. Like, bro, where we going? We going to Rock Hill? Cool, we going. Like, I pull up in the morning. I'm right here, wherever y'all at. Because I was like, I'm not DJing the radio, so I didn't have anything to do during the day. It was only the club. So I was like, why not? Like, if I'm not doing nothing else, why not put me in a position to become that? Mm-hmm. So I did it, and then I started emailing, like, the program director. Like, if I heard somebody got fired, I'd be like, I email him like the same day, like, hey, bro, so I heard that somebody got fired. So, you know, you got an opening. But what I learned is when they fire somebody, they usually freeze up like HR or something and just be like, all right, now it's a hiring freeze. Like, I'm like, what? Like, you let somebody go and then you say it's a hiring freeze. I was like, I don't know why that is, but it happens every time. I was just like, I'm going to still ask.
Outside of just, it didn't matter what it was.
I don't know. I don't know if it's protocol or what.
Is that just with them?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, from what I'm seeing, it's like somebody leave, then they just go into where they're not even looking to hire nobody. Like, not right away. Like, so it's more so. It's more so the way it's offset to the point where they look at it where they already got their eyes on who they want. Mm-hmm. They always watching to see who's bubbling this and who's bubbling that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm just keep trying to kill my parties, keep trying to be in there. And what's crazy is like it comes full circle. So it's like before the program director now was the active program director. It was a lady. And I had met her in a strip club. And I was like, you know, like, what I got to do to get on? And like, I want to say the morning show was out, and Jessica was there. Shout out to Jessica. And she was like, hey, this is DJ Midnight. You know, he DJs at the school, and he's doing this. And she was like, okay, Midnight, you know, let's get you on board. She was like, give me a press kit. And I was like, okay. Didn't know what it was.
Press kit,
right? I'm like, I'm going to figure it out. So, like, I Googled it. I got everything together. It took me, like, a whole weekend to get it. So I got the weekend. Monday morning, I sent it to Jessica. And Jessica was like, yeah, the lady left. And I was like, what you mean? Like,
All in that weekend.
Like, that weekend went by. And Monday, she, like, quit or something. I was like.
So that means.
So now I'm back out here again.
And another freeze.
Like, right. I was like, yo. I was like, you know what? I was like, all right, whatever. So one day, I was just helping a friend move or something. And got a call at, like, 8 o'clock at night. And the program director's like, yo, you wanna audition for the 12 o'clock show? I was like, hell yeah. Didn't have no clean music at all. I didn't even download clean music because I wasn't in that realm. Like,
yeah.
So it's like when he said it, he was like, all right, all clean music. I see you tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay. So
now you had to go back in the trenches.
I immediately stopped helping who I was helping move and ran home to download music all night.
But I know they understood it.
Yeah, I was like, bro, I don't even know what I said. I was just like, yo, I gotta go. Like, something came up. I really got to get out of here, and I just spent all night downloading music. Mind you, the show was only an hour, but I was panicking. Like, what if I run out of clean music? Like, what I'm gonna do? Like, what if it accidentally cuts and it say clean? I was like,
right.
Like, it was so much. So,
cause that's a good 16, 17 songs if you truly think about it.
Exactly. And but then once you become a professional, you could do that in your sleep. Like, it. Like, I pick out songs for a mix, and mess around and not even get to use all of them because you run out of time. Like. So it's like, it's crazy how it happened, but it's like, it started with an audition call.
That's crazy. And you know what's funny? You are the second person that's brought up. I don't know her personally, but I know of her, of course, from Power 98 and the people that she knows. She's helped out a lot of people.
Yeah.
On the low. So yeah, if you listen to me, Jessica, shout out to you.
People genuinely are real about stuff. I feel like people appreciate that.
And they feel she's genuine.
Yeah,
too,
like,
so.
And I literally was just DJing at the school. Like, it started with, like, one year they brought her in a judge a DJ competition. And I was the school DJ. So it was like, I'm already popular. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, at that point, it was like, I was kind of cocky because I was like, yo, nobody on campus is seeing me. Like, I don't care. Like,
right.
Like, so I was like, I could smash y'all in my sleep. I was like, I got them solely off of popularity. Mm-hmm. And that's how it would happen. So it's like, I won a DJ competition. Me and her took a picture together. And then she would start host. She was hosting all the big events on campus. Mm-hmm. And I was always there because I was a school DJ. I was like JCSU DJ for like 6 years.
Right.
So if me always being there, I, like I said, lock in with her, you know, stay in the loop with that, hang out with Butterfingers, or just being in a position to level up all the time. Like, you got to be, because you just never know who knows who mm-hmm. at all. So it always plays out.
Well, you said something there. So talk about the culture. The culture, and to talk about the culture here in Charlotte. And I want to talk specifically about Charlotte because I feel this show is just about Charlotte.
Yeah, definitely.
And I kind of talked to you offline, like, you know, like I talked to everybody, just kind of giving you an idea of where I'm trying to take things.
Yeah.
And I always like to talk about the culture of Charlotte, music wise, radio wise, and just creative wise. I think Charlotte is at a point where people are starting to take a little bit more ownership in the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
They're not relying on corporate. They're not relying on the radio. They're not relying on things like that. What have you noticed?
We from here. Y'all should play us. Like, that's mm-hmm. not how that works.
Right.
Like, it's business. Like, if you know your business, come to the table correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like Charlotte has a lot of creative people, but it's also the people that's just eager to do stuff. They want that pow right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it don't work like that. Like,
right.
No matter what you're doing, it's like it's going to take time. People don't want to take their time. But I do see there's so much potential here, but it's just a lot of people need to know more of the business side of things.
Now, do you think Charlotte has the potential to get there?
They do. It's just we're missing the business side. If we had more business parts of it, of the industry itself,
mm-hmm.
it would pan out a lot more. Because then people would know what to do and how to do it. People and right now, they're just taking a stab at stuff, hoping yeah. that it's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's me, and I'm going to just give my unbiased opinion because I'm not an employee. I'm not an employee of a radio station. But what I've learned, I will say it. So I think what I've learned with major radio stations is, let's be real, they have somebody to answer to.
Yeah.
They had the powers that be, they have somebody to answer to, number one. So I'm not going to say that there isn't anybody in any radio station that doesn't try to push something
yeah.
or somebody. Problem is that how far does it get?
Exactly.
It probably just get to the cutting room floor and they be like, look, that's not what we're on right now.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, that's where kind of this premise came in with the Who Got Next.
Yeah.
Because I listen to radio, but I listen to the radio at a certain time when I was going out, you know, probably pre-gaming with some friends or at the time when I was going out like that. I'm listening because I know at the night they're going to play that stuff that I want to hear because right. and I know there's going to be some mixing involved in it. But you talk to certain people that's aspiring rappers or trying to put their music out, and the one thing they always say is, I need to get on the radio.
Right. And that's all. It's crazy is that that's all they know. But it's like.
And that's not your only outlet.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like what they fail to realize is at one point, it used to be that way.
Yeah.
It used to be you needed radio mm-hmm. because that's the only way you're going to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a million outlets. Radio is the last stop. Like, it's the last stop. It's really only to help you get to that, to help you mm-hmm. get the gold or get the next plaque,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, it's always on. Like,
right.
Once you make it on the radio, your record should already be popping when you get there.
And that's the way it is now.
Exactly. It didn't used to be like that.
It didn't.
It's like, it used to be that if you was hot, then you got on the radio.
You got on the radio, and you had to bust them doors down.
Right.
But see, now, with the radio, they have their own platform.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? The radio also is now turning into... They get recognized for podcasts, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, the morning, I would think the Morning Madhouse would, could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, they got one.
They got a podcast.
Yeah, everybody got it because it's like really.
It's streamed. Like, it's
like what we're doing now.
Right.
But in a radio set, they record your show and that's your podcast. Like,
and they put
it's that simple.
Right. And they put it out. So now what they're doing is.
Right.
If you're dope, they'll find you.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, if you're not popping in your city and it happens a lot.
It is.
That you're not popping in your city, and you end up popping somewhere else. Soon as you pop somewhere else, trust me,
your city comes along.
Your city is gonna come along, and I know it. And I know
your city never comes along first.
It's fucked up,
and it is very fucked up. But there's like your city will never. Will never back you out the door. Like,
never. And I can give a prime example. I know I always tell this story to people. I know I went to Fayetteville State. Mm-hmm. I'm not from Fayetteville, but I went to Fayetteville State. J. Cole.
And I always talk. Feel like you've been New Cole.
And I was talking about, but I've seen, I had saw him around. Mm-hmm. I knew he did beats at the time. I didn't know he rapped. Mm. But I met him when I moved to Charlotte, and I just happened to go back to Greensboro. I was living in Greensboro at the time, and I ran into him. Mm. And he was promoting the come up.
Yeah.
His very first mixtape. So, and he was telling me the story. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, I went to Fayetteville State. Oh, I'm from Fayetteville. Then we started talking about people that we knew.
Yeah.
And I went to St. John's to go to school, but he said, man, I'm really trying to get myself out there. But it happened to be a dope ass mixtape. And I think probably 6 months later, he got signed to Roc Nation. So, but, and I say that because I hear those conversations about, you know, it took the warm up in Friday Night Lights for him to get recognized in Fayetteville by the radio station. And now that man is just
all over. Like, can't, like radio, like, but that's what I'm saying. That's the era that we're in now. Like once everything went digital, it's like you got plenty of outlets. Mm-hmm. Like, how many people don't have an aux cord? Like, they're gonna listen to what they wanna listen to.
Right.
Like, I've had kids say, why does the radio play clean music? What do you mean? Because it's supposed to be like.
But they so used to hearing things strange. They don't.
So it's no filters now.
Right. So, I guess one of the biggest things I want to ask you. So what like I said, what do you think it's going to take for just anybody in Charlotte to get recognized? Like what do you think Charlotte? What do you think Charlotte is missing?
What do I think Charlotte is missing? I personally think it's the business. It's the business. I like everybody has every other aspect under control, like trying to put your brand together and putting out the actual music, but they don't know what business it takes to get it out there. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they lose it. Like, oh, I did this and I did that. I should be on. No, that's because you thought that's what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
When in all actuality, you should have been doing this and you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever told you. And then a lot of people kill me with this. They say they're hot, but they've only asked their friends. How you know you hot if you only ask your friends? Like the first thing that's turn off of an artist to me is if you come up to me saying you want me to hear your music, and the first thing out your mouth is, I guarantee I got the hottest thing, the club gonna go crazy. How do you know? Mm-hmm. You ain't never played it at the club.
You just played it at
you played it at your house.
In your parking lot.
You ain't never heard it in the club. Nobody in here has heard your record.
Right.
I was like, but you're that confident in that. And then you play it, and I'm looking around like you the only one dancing. So where is lit at? Like,
so you get a lot of people like when you out at, I know you.
Yeah.
You work at a strip club. So.
See, but see, that's the beauty. I'm actually playing both sides. Like,
right. So
like
you, because I'm thinking
the strip club.
Right. And I also think in the strip club is probably the best place.
That's where you get your records heard. That's where you
thank you.
Heard.
Thank like, you. I think that's the best record, place to get your record heard.
And the reason I feel like it works like that is because, like, okay, for instance, like, say you don't normally go to the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always that one case where you be like, oh, well, we trying something different, or we want to go out here. And you stop through just for some food.
Right.
And you hear a song that you never heard before. You're going to go looking for that song. You're going to get to the regular club, and then you're not going to hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You got to come back to the strip club just because you want to know what the fuck you heard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it works. That's where you get noticed at the strip club.
Do you think clubs are dead?
Yeah, nobody wants to come have fun no more. And it drives me crazy. Like, it really drives me crazy because the era of DJing that I came in, like, the DJ had to be his best self to build that vibe. It's not no instant vibe. Like, nowadays, you could play a hot song and everybody want to dance because they know the words and they just want to Snapchat it. Mm-hmm. Back then, you had to build that vibe. And I mean, from the ground up, like, from your opening set had to be good. You had to get them drinking. You had to get them moving. Then you take it to the next level and you turn up instantly. But it's like now, it's like it's so instant. Nobody wants to come till 12 o'clock. They want to come, they want to drink and turn up like that.
Mm-hmm.
As if we're a market that stays open all night.
Yeah, you got to 2 a.m.
Exactly. Why would you come in at 12:45 and then be mad at the turn up because you came at 12:45? Like, It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because it just doesn't, you know, they come in, they want to do their thing.
Late. It's not the same as it was, man. Like,
and does it irk you? I need to know from a DJ. Does it irk you that when you think in your heart, you really doing your best shit? Because I think there are DJs out there that are really putting it in.
Yeah.
But the problem is somebody's over there
on the phone.
Just on the phone. Because I always say people, this is my favorite term to use. Nobody's enjoying the moment because they're too busy Snapchatting it.
They are.
And that person could be that dope, and you sitting out there looking like,
It's got to be fixable. And you know why I say that? It's got to be fixable because, okay, when you go to the club, they want to come late. They want to be in VIP. They want to Snapchat. But these same people live to go to Grits and Biscuits and R&B only. And then they have fun. And I'm like, you can still Snapchat and have fun. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, y'all go here where they take VIP away and y'all are living. Y'all are lit. You have a good time. You talk about it. But then you go to the club and you're acting disappointed as if you wasn't just lit at Grits and Biscuits and they gave you the same thing.
In the same city.
At
that moment.
Like, you didn't travel to get to it. They took you to a different venue, played the same shit mm-hmm. in the same order. And you had the time of your life, and then you telling me you came to the club and you didn't enjoy yourself because you didn't want to enjoy yourself. Like, it's more mental than anything. Like,
it's crazy, man. You're the third person that said that, and it leads me into a different topic, and we're gonna talk about that topic on a different day because you touched on something real big. It's about having a good time. Number one, we're getting older.
Right.
I'm showing my age. I'm 37, about to go on 38.
Hey, look, praise to you, bro. I just turned 30.
Hey, so welcome to the 30 club.
Yeah. Look, any given time, you can take a nap.
Bro, if you don't catch me while I'm out,
it's a wrap.
It's over with.
It's a wrap.
I tell people real quick, say, hey, man.
And look, you never understood until you hit 30. You hit 30, and you're like, yeah, I ain't coming out tonight, guys. I'm sorry.
So I can only imagine where you working.
Man, listen. If I ain't at work, bro, I'm in the house. Like,
right. Because it's not, because you actually are working. It's not like, right. Oh, yo, I'm going to strip club. Because when you talk to your friends, they're like, bro.
They're like, bro, you lit, bro. I'm like, bro, this is work. This is work.
This is my job.
Now, granted, I have a different type of job, but I love what I do. I was like, but it's still long. That does not excuse the fact that I'm DJing for 9 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. Like,
which is a lot of music. And you got to prepare for it. And I don't think a lot of DJs prepare for it. I think one of my biggest issues I went to a set one night. I'm not gonna say it up here. But I went to and I know the people who I was with
mm-hmm.
is gonna listen to this and start laughing. And I'm gonna tell you offline who I'm talking about. But I went to a set one night, and it was just the worst set.
Really?
Oh my God!
It was scale from 1 to 10.
-3.
Ooh.
And I'm gonna tell you why it was a -3. It was a -3 because I don't think they stuck to the theme. My issue, and again, I guess I'm speaking from a DJ mindset and not a DJ per se,
mm-hmm.
is not sticking to your guns.
Okay.
Not sticking to your guns, not sticking to what you said this was going to be. If you're telling me this is going to be a specific theme party or a themed set. And I'm talking about a theme set. So basically,
so really just your set that's supposed to be that theme.
Your set is supposed to be that theme, and you went out there and sounded like trash.
I'm going to tell you why that is.
But nobody won't tell you. I'm going
to tell you why that is.
Why?
Because, in so many words, the way it's set up, it really messes with the DJ's head. If you, like, you got a good set, and you sat down and you put your crates together, you put your sets together, and you go out there to play your set, and everybody's there waiting on, like, the new music or what's popping right now instead of the actual set. Because if you really look at it, ain't no themes for this new shit. It's not.
No.
It's not nobody like, oh, come out. We playing new albums tonight. Like, nah, that's not the case.
Right.
But if you have a theme and you can't stick to it because it's like they play the first 5 songs and they don't get a response. But see, I'm the type that I don't give a fuck. I mean, if I say I'm doing a 90s set.
That's what you give.
I'm going to do a 90s set. I'm not going to jump and play something new because I didn't get the crowd response. You have to.
So you think so basically kind of what I'm about to say this. So you basically think some DJs are pussy because
they fold. They will fold because of the crowd, which I know you have to cater to your crowd. But if you promote it to your crowd that this what this was going to be, there should be no problem with playing what was on the promotion side because that's what you were supposed to be playing.
And I kind of blame the promoter for that.
Yeah, like promoters that have a 90s party, and what you get in there playing, you get five 90s songs, and then you back to the new stuff.
Or you get a DJ that just don't know shit about that particular era.
But see, they don't really love music. They clout chasing. So it's, you got to be able to distinguish the difference. Like, that's why I'm so, like, you got to protect that vibe. Because it's like, if I know what vibe I bring, I'm not going to make it. Like, and there's some promoters that will hassle you and want to negotiate. And I just stopped negotiating. When I got in the radio, I'm not negotiating. Like, I done got on the radio and I'm a club every week. Like, what are we negotiating for?
They already know what you. Like, they know what you sound like. They know what you're gonna play.
And when I got on radio, people was like, "Yeah, well, maybe you need to come in one night so I can listen to you." No, you can get in your car and listen to me on the radio. I'm not even going to send you a mix at this time. At one point, I would. I'd be like, "Okay, I'll send you a mix, so I come in and open up for somebody." Nah, I ain't doing none of that now. Like, for what? You can listen to me on the. I'm on the radio. My show is number one.
Cause they found you. They clearly found you from somewhere. Right. So they know what you're about.
So you found me. Like, it's no need to question any of that. Like. And sometimes you got to make yourself inaccessible to certain people until they realize that. And by the time they realize that, then they're going to pay the tax because it's too late. That's just the way I look at it.
Hey, man. And we're going to end it right there.
See?
We're going to end it right there, man. Because there's so much we can't talk about.
Oh, we're going to have to have a part two.
Oh, we will definitely have a part two. And I think when I do a part two, I'm going to bring somebody else in.
Yeah, please, I think it's real dope
when I can hear two different perspectives. From your perspective and another DJ's perspective, from two different eras.
Yeah, please do. It's more of an era thing. Like a DJ that actually came up in that era where it wasn't Serato, it wasn't none of that. Like you had to be a real DJ.
You had to carry them crates.
I wish I could have a time machine so I could go see that stuff. Like I live for that stuff. Like sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm stuck in the 90s era for the whole day. It's like everything I'm doing, it got to be related to the 90s or I don't want to do it. Like.
Yeah,
sometimes it's dead serious.
Damn. Hey, man. Yeah, we definitely gonna talk, man. But before we go, I'll always like to end the show with this particular question. I do it with everybody.
Okay.
What's next for DJ Midnight?
What's next? To travel. I want to travel and hit some festivals. I've already started, but I want to be able to have a set on some main festivals. Like. Mm-hmm. Like the Roots picnic.
I'll be there. I'm going there this weekend.
Yeah, see, like I've done Broccoli Fest for the last 2 years, and that to me that's just a warm up. It's like if I can do that, I know I can get in. Like,
yeah,
it's just a matter of when it's gonna happen. But it's like I'm working on it. Like if I can headline some festivals, that's gonna take me to the next level.
Hey man, I believe you will get there. I mean, just listening to you, just kind of having this extensive conversation, how you thinking about things. It's only a matter of time, man.
Definitely.
And I'm always gonna be there to support you, man. If I bring people on the show, you clearly somebody I support. Like I said, I've seen your grind from the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning.
So to see where you at now, to being on Power 98, to still turn to 30.
Yeah.
That's always gonna be a blessing. Turn to 30 and also still out there in the booty clubs.
Yeah.
The booty clubs are still doing still making it on time to do your mixes, man.
Got to.
It's always gonna be a wonderful thing. So I do applaud you for that.
Definitely. I appreciate that.
Anything you got going on, but let everybody know they can find you at, man.
Instagram, DJ Midnight, MYDNITE. Twitter, DJ_Midnight. And just holler at me. I follow back. I'm always on there. It's part of the business, you know.
Right.
Spreading the brand, always.
And if you in Charlotte, you will find his brother. We didn't get a chance to get into the kicks and the clothes and stuff like that, but we're going to talk about it at a different time. I really want to just talk to him about his business as being a DJ because I don't think he talks about that enough.
I don't. I try to keep it. Because you don't ever want to come off as cocky. Like, I don't ever want nobody to feel like, oh, I'm too cocky to talk to or something like that.
I feel you. You wasn't cocky on here, man, but you did get your shit off. So that's so that's always good. But I am your host. I am E-Dub. You can catch me on Instagram as well at whogotnext_CLT. And you can email me if you have any questions about the show. Hell, offer me some criticism. That's fine. You know, iron sharp as iron. I'm always willing to listen. You can hit me up on my email. My email is whogotnext@gmail.com. Be looking out. All right. Peace.